Standing by on the line, a very important man, our legal analyst, Joe DeGenova. Good morning to you, Joe.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year to you, Joe. Okay, I want to start off by something that seems like it's an outside possibility, but you never really know for sure with this Obama administration. Merrick Garland was the man that President Obama wanted to serve on the Supreme Court. And, of course, the Republicans in the Senate said, that's not going to happen. We're not even going to consider that. However, I understand that there is, some people believe, a very small window in which President Obama could make a recess appointment of Merrick Garland to the high court. This comes in that moment. And it's just a brief split moment in time between when the 114th Congress gavels out and the 115th Congress gavels in. In that brief moment, they would be out of session, some people would argue, and therefore President Obama could make a recess appointment to the Supreme Court. Is this something that they might try, and what are the problems here?
No, they're not going to try it because it would lead to constitutional ignominy. I mean, this would be a parting shot that would equal the UN Security Council abstention vote. This, what you're talking about is something called the intercession recess, and it's that brief period of a minute or two between the end of one Congress and the beginning of a new Congress. It is alleged by liberal legal theorists who have nothing else better to do with their time when they're doing nothing, that they do, then they continue to do nothing by expressing these idiotic opinions, that the president could appoint Merrick Garland to a recess appointment during that intercession recess for a term that would last for 2 years on the Supreme Court. In fact, he couldn't do that. And the reason is that in a recent ruling by the United States Supreme Court, unanimous ruling, 9-0, written by Stephen Breyer, the Supreme Court struck down two of President Obama's appointments to the National Labor Relations
Board. I remember that, and that was a very significant thing.
When they ruled that the recess in which he acted was much too short, it was a 10-day recess, and therefore the appointments were unconstitutional. That, and in fact, they even talk about intercession recess appointments and make sure that people understand that they're unconstitutional. This isn't going to happen. The president is already making enough of a fool of himself between the UN vote and his pathetic response to the Russians. He's playing checkers. The Russians are playing chess.
Absolutely. Joe, this is Mary Walter. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. First of all, I don't think the president cares that he's making a fool of himself, because I truly believe he doesn't see it that way. He buys
right.
his own press.
He is delusional.
Yeah, he's such an ideologue. He just doesn't care. The end justifies the means. So a lot of pardons going on. He's pardoning. It's just crazy with the pardons. People talking about Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden applying for pardons.
Yeah.
But the other person who has not applied for a pardon, and I'm fascinated with what's going to happen here, and I think a lot of people want to know, Hillary Clinton has not applied for a pardon. Now, Obama can still pardon her. But from what I understand, if you accept a pardon, it's an admission of guilt.
Well, you can require someone to admit guilt, but you can pardon them and they don't have to do anything.
No, they don't have to admit it. But didn't the Supreme Court, I think it was 1915, there was a Supreme Court ruling that an acceptance of a pardon is in and of itself an admission of guilt?
Well, yes. It isn't going to happen here, so it won't matter. I mean,
it's not. He's not going to pardon her.
No, he's not going to pardon her because he actually doesn't need that. He's creating enough historical problems for himself, not in his own mind. I mean, he thinks that everything he's doing is just fantastic and swell. He doesn't have any reason to pardon her. There isn't going to be any continuing investigation. There should be of everything else that she's done, but I think the Republicans are going to conclude, and so is the new Attorney General, that in the absence of some new evidence or something, that there isn't going to be an investigation. I think the more important question is what's going to happen to James Comey. And there's just no question that in light of all of his behavior, which is some of the most unbelievable behavior in the history of the Justice Department, he's got to go. He can no longer function as the head of the FBI, given his really quite awful conduct. Not only that horrible press conference on July 5th, but the subsequent communications with Congress. He has usurped the role of the Justice Department and everybody else in the criminal justice system, and he has no credibility anymore. I assume that after the president is sworn in and after Jeff Sessions is sworn in as Attorney General, that a decision will be made to offer him an opportunity to resign. But there won't be any pardon for Hillary. I just don't see it. The president doesn't need the aggravation. Why would he pardon her? It's better to have her hanging out there with her looking right. the way she does now.
Yeah, but when you say they're going to stop the there won't be an investigation. Isn't the New York office of the FBI currently still investigating the Clinton Foundation? Weren't
yes.
they given the green light
different.
To continue that?
That's different. The Clinton Foundation is actually under the auspices of the Eastern District of New York, which is Loretta Lynch's old office, which is why nothing has happened to it. But we also understand that the Southern District of New York, which is Preet Bharara, the guy that Trump met with privately and asked to stay on as the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York in the new Trump administration, and he has accepted. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that they have issued subpoenas as well. And so what's mm-hmm. likely to happen is the full investigation of the foundation will be transferred from the Eastern District, which is Brooklyn, to Manhattan, which is Preet Bharara. The problem with the Eastern District of Brooklyn is those are the old Loretta Lynch people, and they're mm-hmm. doing basically everything they can to protect yeah. her and the president.
Okay.
I noticed that, there's a role in an administration known as Solicitor General.
Uh-huh.
Solicitor General is the person who then goes to the Supreme Court and argues cases on behalf of the administration. Very important position. And I'm reading that Kellyanne Conway's husband is being considered for this. What do you think?
He's a very, very good lawyer. I've read about this stuff about him being considered for Solicitor General. He's obviously done some Supreme Court work. He's an interesting fellow. He's again a good lawyer. He wouldn't be on my top list. His name is George Conway. He wouldn't be on my top list of people to argue in the Supreme Court on behalf of the United States. By the way, that job is not just the Supreme Court. The Solicitor General's
right.
office, you have to get their approval to file an appeal in any of the circuit courts in the United States. And they get to review your arguments and determine whether or not the United States wants to make these arguments. So, for example, all the U.S. attorneys that want to file appeals, they can't do that without the permission of the Solicitor General.
That's interesting.
This is a huge job. It's a job that carries with it incredible weight to the court. The court looks to the Solicitor General for guidance. They frequently ask the Solicitor General's office, the court does, to file briefs in cases in which they're not even a party because they want the magnificent analysis that the Solicitor General's
yeah.
office brings to cases, even state cases, that where the United States is not a party. They will ask the Solicitor General to offer what they call an amicus or a friend of the court.
An amicus brief, right.
George is getting his name mentioned probably in order as a favor to Kellyanne Conway. Whether or not he would actually
be nominated.
Well, you said
not on your list, but who would be on your list?
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, he won't do it, but Paul Clement would be my favorite, one of the great, great advocates, along with Ted Olson. Ted Olson obviously has a huge practice. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
No.
There are some fine women lawyers around the country in Michigan and elsewhere who would make great Solicitor General. And I actually would like to see a woman become the Solicitor General of the United States and might privately submit a name or two to the administration's transition team.
All right. Well, thank you. Joe DeGenova, always a pleasure. Thank
Victoria
you.
Victoria Tunting would be a great Solicitor General.
Well, of course, that goes without saying.
No question.
Your partner in love and in law.
Correct.